Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate. And that's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
The number you're dialing is outside of your plan.
All right, Blog, oh man, let me see something here. Blog Talk is tripping a little bit. Let's see if we can straighten it out. Okay, oh man. All right, we're having some technical challenges here today. I don't know if you guys can hear me. I'm going to refresh this page. All right.
What's up, everybody? This is Jay, and this video is about, is Tariq worth $2 million? Now, we all know that he's a damn fool, and he deserves what he's getting, but is he worth $2 million? Before we do, let's hit that like button.
Okay, all right.
200 likes for this video, and if you haven't already, please subscribe and bang.
Okay, hold it, Reba. Hold it, where you at? Okay,
Grand Rising, buenos dias.
Grand Rising, man, I don't know what's going on this morning. Let me see. Yeah, I couldn't get any audio.
Okay. Probably just a delay. A lot of the internet has been acting up across the city here in Chicago.
And then, man, wait a minute. You know, I like to start off with Claude Anderson here, and I'm trying to find him. Now, we might have to do things in reverse order this morning. Anyway, while we're waiting for my laptop to get unstuck and reacclimated, how was your weekend?
Amazing. I mean, I just had a great time. Recorded my music video. It's called Celebrate Your Life.
Okay.
So our music video, WF Doc and myself, he's rapping, I'm singing background vocals, and so we went on location, some sites downtown, Grand Park Millennium, Grand Ballroom. We ended up at the Grand Ballroom. So that was really nice. We did a couple of things there. That was really, really nice. Really nice. And then ultimately, I ended the night at my uncle's 66th birthday party. Good to see him as well, his family. Can you hear me? Hello, is the audio working?
direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money, major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Okay, all right, now we're getting back on track here. All right, today's live stream is titled No One Lives Here. Now, I got the next is, the guy with no arms playing. We're playing out of sequence today due to whatever. But I want to, if you have access, go to our scrolling marquee on Blog Talk Radio, which is under Solo Landlord, It's My House, for today's live stream, which we're doing right now. And look up, and today's podcast is titled, No One Lives Here. If you can't do the Blog Talk scrolling marquee, then go to our Facebook page, which is It's My House TV. Go to It's My House TV, and then at the top of the, not the top of the page, but the top where the content is, I've got some pictures that, well, it's titled No One Lives Here, and it's a map of the United States and North America. You know, one map's got Alaska in it, another map has Canada in it, another map has the United States, continental United States. There's one with New Zealand in it. And then there's a world map. And that's where we want. The primary talk on
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I will be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't, lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it'll come. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Okay, we got through our morning rituals in a little bit reverse order. Reba, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, good, because I've been booted off like 3 times. So,
okay.
I'm back in. So.
No, it was breaking up a little bit from time to time. So I know you're normally stationary when you're recording, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was breaking up. So
echo now.
Yeah.
I don't know why I hear echo. Anyway, did you get a chance to look at the scrolling marquee or go to our Facebook page, It's Miles TV, and look at those maps that says no one lives here?
That is awesome information. I'm going to check my, I'm going to use my iPhone. I'm talking, listening to the podcast on my Android. And my half-speed data is all gone. But I'm glad I'm still able to. Right. Brother, like, can you hear me? Hello?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here.
Interestingly enough, my music producer is from Liberia, West Africa, Liberia.
Okay.
Well, remember Huey the Goat was talking about the land purchase prices are pretty affordable.
Yeah.
In Africa. Well, he has 1,000 acres, and he shared video while I'm looking that up, I want to share that. Looking up those maps. He shared video of him showing where he's building a city in West Africa. He's going to build a city.
Yeah. Well, hold that thought. We're going to come back to it. If we go to our Facebook page, which is House TV at Gold Egg Asset Builder. Gold Egg is one word. Asset Builder is one word. University. But it's House TV on Facebook. All right. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got six maps on there. These are not my maps. Somebody else who's a cartographer, these their map. Okay, or maps. Now, the title of the map, maps are Nobody Lives Here.
Oh.
All right.
Oh.
And if you look at one of the green areas on all maps, now one map has got pink, that's the global map, but right now we're dealing with the United States, the continental United States, Alaska, there's a map of Alaska, there's another map of the continental United States, and there's a map of Canada, okay? Now, let's start with the two maps of the continental United States. All those green areas, as the title of the map says, nobody lives here. Nobody lives here. All right. And I'm in Florida right now. All right. Now, those dark areas that you see in Florida, nobody lives in those places. All right. Florida has 67 counties. And once you get outside of the cities of Miami, Orlando, Jacksonville, Tallahassee, Tampa, and St. Pete, that's six cities, Florida is a – matter of fact, the United States is rural. Now, this is not something L.A. made up. That's why I placed that map in the scrolling marquee on Blog Talk Radio and on our Facebook page, which I need to start using more of that because we got stuff every day on it. But nobody lives there. Now, within and then a lot of those green areas is wilderness, which means man has not even set foot in a lot of those green areas. All right, so... the continental United States, and there's another map of Alaska. Let's just look at those two maps, okay? And we're gonna get to your Liberia thing in a moment. There are 19,500 municipalities. That's communities that have formed. They have a municipal charter. And only 10 of those 19,500 municipalities, there are more communities now that are unincorporated. Okay? They're in the light areas too. But there's only 10 of them that have a population of 1 million or more people. And that those areas, you know, they're in white. But where the action is, where you can, for instance, in the light areas, you know, that's where you got the crime. That's where you have black men getting shot by the police, or anybody getting shot by the police, or shot by anybody. Okay. Where the action is, where you have real freedom, in my opinion, this is just LA's opinion, where you have real freedom, now, but you're going to have the skill set. Going to have skill set is in the green areas where nobody lives there.
Mm-hmm.
When I buy land, I buy as close as I can to where nobody lives. There's a few people, but it might be 300 people, might be 900 people, might be 1,000 people. All right. But and some of those areas, you know, if you drive 15 to 20 minutes, there is a Walmart. But if you go in the opposite direction, 15 to 20 minutes, nobody lives there. There's no police. There's no code enforcement, typically in a lot of these places. You don't have to march and all the marching and protesting takes place in the light areas. Matter of fact, if you look at one of these maps of the continental United States, where it's practically all green, and you look in New York, like the 95 corridor, where it's like New York City, New Jersey, up to Boston, that corridor, densely populated. That's where you're marching and protesting. If the hell, I'm going to say a bad word.
Yeah, I feel you. I already feel where your spirit is going. You look like, look, what's the
you
point?
Look at Chicago. Look, can tell where Chicago is on Lake Michigan. That big white pants, that's in Chicago. That's the Chicagoland area. But if you go outside the light and go to the green area, nobody lives there. I'm too excited. So
your
I think this is
breaking up.
Is it still breaking up? What about now, Reba?
Your audio is breaking up.
Okay, wait a minute. You're clear. If I'm calling on another number, which I can.
I'm trying to click on the link.
All right. Am I still breaking up? Okay. Am I still breaking up, Reba? All right, wait a minute. Let me try some. I'm going to hang up and then call back in.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You.
Okay, I had to log off and come. What about now, Reba? Can you hear me?
Yes, that's clear, yeah.
All right, good. So getting back to the maps, and we're on our Facebook page, It's My House TV. I've got six maps in one little thing. If you look at the map that of the continent, I got two maps of the continental United States. Actually, three, but that's the world map. If you look at the map of the continental United States, now, once again, this is not L.A.'s map. I'm not a cartographer. Somebody else who's a cartographer did this. If you look at the map of the United States, the greenest map, it's titled, No One Lives Here. So you can see, like, in Illinois, like on where Lake Michigan is, the big white patch there, that's the Chicagoland area.
Oh,
now, when I met Reba and Pleasant Stephens about, 3 years ago, we went from that big area to, well, there were people living there. But there weren't as many people living in Pembroke and Hopkins Park. So it's the green areas where you don't have to march, picket, and protest. It's the light areas with the densely populated areas. That's where you got the high inflation, you got the violent crimes, you got family court, you got all that other stuff, but to live in the green areas, you're going to have a skill set. Now, look at Canada, and I've driven through Canada, even in the populated areas, and All I can, what I remember about Canada, when I crossed that border and I was going to Ottawa, I didn't see no mounted police, no law enforcement. I was yeah. thankful that my car was in good shape, because if you break right. out on the road in Canada, you are
just lost.
Shit out of luck. I'll put it that way. And if you break down at night, you're going to be on a highway in pitch black. Why?
Wow.
Because nobody, unless you get to a pocket of, but I didn't see none. Anyway, but this map shows it. Now, let's go back to you, Reba, in a moment. No one lives in those places. That's on the pink map. So on the pink map, map, you can see the Western Hemisphere. You see South America in those pink areas. No one lives there. So I'm not marching and picketing for nobody. I'm just going to places where nobody lives and be free. But once again, you got to have a skill set. Now, North America, you see the United States. The majority of the population in the United States lives in that light, the lighter color, the white area.
Okay. Yeah, are you still there? Smithsonian Magazine was a resource. Vivid Maps, Reddit.
I'll get in trouble if I call that number. Can anybody hear me? All right, let me hang up and call back.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, Reba, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, man, I had to log off. And all right, let's get back to what you're talking about, because the map of Africa, the world map, which Africa is on, the pink areas is where nobody lives. Australia, the population is just thinly around the coastal area. And Australia is as big as the continental United States, and it's a continent island. Russia, they mostly live in pockets in eastern Russia. So there's a lot of land out here globally where you don't have to march, you don't have to protest, you don't have to politic to get, if somebody's giving you a hassle, move to where nobody lives. But you can do it with a happy medium, where it's within striking distance of a major population hub. The 10 acres that I have in Texas, it was actually $180 per acre, but when you include the tax and the transfer fees and all that, I paid a total of $2,000. So I say, I paid $2,000 for 10 acres. The nearest Walmart is 3 hours away in El Paso, Texas. I'm all right with that, because there's a little general store, and it's a population of about 1,000 or so people that are near me. I don't need to go to Walmart every day anyway. All right. I can build without a building permit. I can basically do what I want to do right here in the United States. So anyway, study that map.
You've always been adamant about staying away from the city areas. For that reason,
if you think about it, all the high Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, George Floyd, name any high-profile murder, they didn't happen in those green areas. None of them.
So now it's the true blacksitters, huh?
Well, just all right. For instance, when we met, me, you, and Pleasant, and we drove down to Pembroke and Hopkins Park. Basically, it was just farmland. Now, there are people living there, but it's not densely populated as Chicago.
Right. Far and few.
Right.
You can drive.
So my strategy is live in a place like Pembroke and Hopkins Park, which does, they got a library there, and they have some churches there. There's some, and if you want to go to work in Chicago, have friends in Chicago, go to church in Chicago. Chicago's a cool town. I'm just saying where you can live at a place where you can work at McDonald's and have enough money, put some of that McDonald's paycheck in the bank and save it. That's all I'm saying. Now, the good thing about the Chicagoland area, there are other parts of the state. Now, I don't know what Cook County is like because, you know, I don't know much about that at all. But I understand there's some less populated areas of Cook County, which is near Chicago, which is in Cook County. And then, you know, you can go into Wisconsin, which, you know, I've only been to Milwaukee once. But I was in the city of Milwaukee, so I don't know anything about outside the city of Milwaukee. But I suspect within an hour's radius of Chicago, there are plenty of places where you can live dramatically inexpensively. And then, like I say, you know, 45-minute drive, hour drive, if you need to get back to Chicago, because I'm sure Chicago has a lot of people that commute to Chicago for work and then go back home in the evening, go weekends.
True.
So.
That's true.
But it all depends on a person's lifestyle and family commitments and this, that, or the other. So I'm just saying, that's the map. And, you know, those green areas, one of the good benefits about living in those green areas, you don't have to worry about being gentrified. That's one of the first things off the top.
Gentrify yourself. I'm going to come up with...
Well, in Taft, Oklahoma, out of the 19,500 towns in the municipalities in the United States, 47% of the towns in the United States have a population of 5,000 people or less. Nearly half the United States does not, and that's why I bought the map. So, nearly half the United States, they're on the fringes of those green areas. They're right on the fringes of those green areas. So, like I say, you take the United States map that has the most green, and you look at those areas that had the biggest splotches of white on it, you know, you got millions of people crammed in that once again. 86% of the United States population lives in those areas. That's just 5% of the landmass. And then out of that, black Americans or African Americans or ADOs or whatever you want to call it, 92% of black folks live in the light-colored areas. Only 14% of us live in a rural environment. Now, when I went out to Oklahoma, Taft, Oklahoma, Summit, Oklahoma, and we're talking about Taft population, maybe 350. That includes the jail population of the prisoners in the women's jail and the women's women's prison and the men's prison. That includes that now. So Summit, Taft, Oklahoma, 15, 20 minutes away from Muskogee, Oklahoma. Everything you need is there in Muskogee. Walmart, Pancake House, Mexican restaurant, the casino, all of it's there. All the bases that you get in Chicago is right in Muskogee, 15, 20 minute ride away from Taft, population 350. Summit, Oklahoma, another historical black township. I've been there twice. Summit, Oklahoma, probably has maybe 100 people. Tallahassee, Oklahoma, which is the oldest black township in Oklahoma, it's 15, 20 minutes away from Muskogee as well. and they, the part of them, part of that is in Wagner County. And I still say, I don't know how those black folks found those places back then when there was no infrastructure like it is today. Because I would get, if I wasn't with somebody that knew where to get to these places, and it's pitch black going to these places at night. But, you know, they're right on the fringes of all that stuff. Now, there's a community, not incorporated, that I haven't found anything on the Internet about them yet. Blackjack, Oklahoma, which is a historical black community, is sandwiched right next door to Taft, Oklahoma, which is a municipality.
Blackjack.
Blackjack, Oklahoma.
Interesting. Okay.
And it's an unincorporated community. Literally right next door to Taft. They got their own graveyard, you know, and churches and homes and all that. I've been through practically every time I go to Taft, because it's right there. And the only reason why I found out about Blackjack, Oklahoma, is I was at City place where I don't have to march, I don't need to protest, I don't need affirmative action, I don't need...
You don't need to be policed. Oh. Audio just went blank. It's out. It's not even breaking up at this point.
I got booted again. I think this is the block. I think this is a live stream that they don't want people to hear.
I'm feeling you because you've been talking some real stuff. Talking about the blacks and the independence, for real.
Yeah, if you want your independence right now, go to the green areas.
Yeah. Certainly.
And that's where I've been buying land. I've been buying right on the fringes of the green areas. So if I need now, there's not going to be no bus line. There's not going to be no metro station. There's not going to be no L train. I'm fine with that. Okay, but I'm a 15-minute, 30-minute, less than an hour drive away. Well, now once again, now in the Texas area, the nearest Walmart's 3 hours away. I'm fine with that. That's in El Paso, Texas. But in Taft, the cities I named that I've actually set foot in Oklahoma, the black townships, it's a 15 to 20-minute drive.
Oh, easy.
Oh, and then, like I said, when we met, that was what, because we went out during rush hour. So it took us, 45 minutes to an hour? Each way.
It seems longer. Each way?
Yeah, each
honestly,
way.
Honestly, it seems longer driving out. It did because, well, we did get turned around.
All right, we were going out during rush hour. We called rush hour. We're going.
Right. And then on the way back, we caught up because you were going to the airport.
Right. We called rush hour on the way back as well. All right. How long would you say it was? Just a guess.
Minimum 45 minutes. Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, bare minimum 45. Right. Bare minimum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
on the high end, what would you say?
Well, 20 minutes, over 20 minutes more.
All right, so we're talking
about an hour and 15 minutes max.
On a high end. Okay.
Yeah, worth the drive, you know. You just certainly have to consider. The good thing is that it's clear roads. You just have a relaxing ride just as long as you know where you're going, your destination, and planning, because we were actually just kind of surveying some land. We were trying to connect with some people
some locals there. So we made a few stops as well.
When we sleep for gas, it was just me
and you
and my friend and a lady at, you know, but that was it.
What'd you say?
When we started to refill on the way back to get some gas, it was me, you, Unpleasant.
Yeah, that audio.
That was at the FDA. That was it.
Can't hear anything.
You can't hear me?
Static.
Oh, man.
No, static. Static this time.
Okay, Reba, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's much better. Clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that now we done did over 2,000 It's My Houses. And
oh,
I think
awesome.
That this is the one that they don't want us to talk about.
Well, you know what?
This
I did
is
not
the
know
topic
your number.
That mm-hmm. they don't want us to talk. Man, they done booted me all 4 or 5 times. I got to keep on calling to my own show. Yeah, so
this
yeah, so when we
one,
went to, you know, a couple of times when we were in Pembroke and Hopkins Park, you know, we went to certain areas where the we couldn't get any cell phone reception.
Right.
You know, but
so
like say that you know, we yeah, that's the time. Now let's go to there's one map there. There's a world map, and you got Africa there. Now, what were you saying about Liberia?
Well, I was hoping that he would get online. WF Doc, he's a rapper, a businessman, and producer. So he's producing a single that we have just released called Celebrate Your Life. So he is building cities. He has 1,000 acres. I said 1,000 acres. So he has video showing what he has. So he sold his home on the north side of Chicago to get this land.
Right.
So amazing, amazing. So he actually is the golden egg. Well, he's the, what do you call that? He's the hen.
The goose that laid the golden egg. He's
the goose. Saying hen. Oh. Hen is a female. So he's a goose. He actually has a couple of daughters. And I believe he's married. You know, however that goes, like in Africa, maybe they're arranged marriages. I don't know. But he has a couple of daughters. And I met his godson, and he has a goddaughter. So the thing is, he is actually showing them how to build from scratch. And I certainly mentioned to him that I wanted to introduce you guys so that we could actually delve into some type of collaboration
right.
when it comes down to, you know, as far as him building the city, a lot of funding opportunities. We actually are recording artists, you know, so we can raise
right.
funds, do concerts, things like that. He has a taxi service. I don't know if he's working that taxi service lately because he had a team. At one point, I wanted to work with him myself, but he has a very professional, and he does. He has a taxi cab service.
Okay.
Just sorts of things. I didn't even realize that he. I knew that he was going out of town. He was in Europe recently and traveling, and so yeah. So he's also going to sponsor, I think, a soccer team out in West Africa. So he's doing some big things. He's very much has a philanthropist heart. Humanitarian,
right?
And he's a Christian. He doesn't do that so-called hardcore trap rap, trap music. He's speaking some positive things. He loves God. He's encouraging people. He can spit some lyrics too. He shared with
okay.
me that Kanye
right.
West, one of Kanye West's producers, wants to work with him. Adamant about getting
now,
him in. So,
where is this 1,000 acres at? You said Liberia.
West Africa, I'm trying to get on because I don't want to inaccurate.
Okay. Well, that's why I put the world map up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me stress this. To live in these areas or near these areas, you need to have the skill set. You know, you need to, historically man had. Now, historically man knew how to, the critical mass man or woman, they had the skill set to build their own shelter. They had the skill set to harvest rainwater or, you know, dig a well or what have you. They had the skill set to grow their own food. They had the skill set to identify, because, see, nature is basically a forest, or the woods is nature's grocery store. When was the last time you saw a malnutrition pigeon? You won't. Because they instinctively know where to get food and how to identify it. You know, when's the last time you saw a malnutrition cockroach?
Okay.
Because they instinctively know how to get. So man historically knew how to see. A lot of the problems that we have today didn't exist even 100 years ago or 150 years ago. So with modern day, with mainstream education, including private schools, it basically, we on a critical mass basis, not all men and women, but on a critical mass basis, you have men and women that are dependent upon McDonald's. They're dependent upon CVS. They're dependent upon going to the grocery store. The parents used to be homeschooling. If you look at the history of education and the history of the world, homeschooling was the norm. Mom and dad taught you how to build a house.
Right.
With no bank, with no government assistance, with
limited
no social
education.
Service.
Yeah.
Mom and dad, that's the original school. All right, but we've lost that in our modern times. Not everybody, because there are a gazillion videos on YouTube teaching you how to catch your own food, how to grow your own food. If you got a car, how to fix up your car, you know, how to buy an old school bus and pimp it out and use it as, you know, an alternative living thing. So, you know, you have a lot of people that do that, but like I said, as I was stating earlier before I got cut off, I don't think Martin Luther King knew about these maps when he was around. Because while marching protests in, Birmingham, Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama.
Speaking some truth like that.
Yeah, when I can go, there are plenty of places in Alabama. Yeah, there are plenty of places in Alabama where I don't have to march in protest. There are plenty of places in Alabama, Mississippi, where, all right, if you got issues, Jim Crow and all that. Matter of fact, Jim Crow is a non-factor. I mean, back when it was rampant and lynching was rampant. The Underground Railroad people, the successful ones that we've heard about, they knew the green areas. They knew those areas. They avoided the densely populated areas.
Okay, makes sense. Wow.
You know, the black townships, there's about 800 or 900 of them right now. Eatonville, Florida is 6 miles outside of Orlando, Florida. But the town's over 100 years old. But when they built Eatonville, and there's a book by on Joseph Clark, he's the founder of a black man, former slave. They avoided areas where there were white folks. That's how they avoided the lynchings and all that. Huh?
What is that town called?
Eatonville, Florida. Yeah, Eatonville. Eatonville, V-I-L-L-E, one word, Eatonville, Florida. They have a Wikipedia page.
Okay.
And Eatonville claims to be the oldest black township in Florida. which it is. And it also claims to be one of the oldest black townships in the United States. And that town's over 100 years old. And they got a patch of land where they didn't get strung up. A lot of people ran into problems when you're on, and this is just L.A. speaking, when they feel you're encroaching on their territory and taking food out of their mouths and taking their jobs or whatever. You know what? Once again, this is just L.A. speaking, crazy as I am. I don't need affirmative action. I know where to go. I mean, when we met, and a few minutes later, we were headed out of Chicago.
Mm.
And
that's
I like Chicago
nice,
now. I'm not
nice
Chicago.
That's a nice story, right? If people would figure that out, hey.
Yeah.
Online dating, okay, we meet up. We here. We meet up again.
We met in Chicago, me, you, and Pleasant, and we headed out of Chicago. Then we came on back. Y'all dropped me off at the airport, and I flew back down here to Florida.
Wow.
Yeah, but Chicago, D.C., Boston,
yeah,
L.A., great city. but where we went that day, me, you, and Pleasant, that's where I call the real United States.
Okay. Yeah. To settle and get established is the opportunity, land of plenty. So you see, yeah. Wow. And just driving, just seeing the vast land that's out there and not established. Something to work with. By the way, I'm trying to get, can you hear me? My audio still good?
You know, it's easier to get politically connected in a small little town. Where you don't have to bankroll elections and do all that other stuff that Claude Anderson suggests.
Okay.
But, now, like I said, you do need the skill set to live in those places. You need the skill set. And typically there's enough people that you can network with to have your own little social network down there. So wherever you might, you know, this, but you know what? It's not for everybody, though. Some people, like 86% of the population, they prefer to live on the grid, crammed into that tiny 5% of the landmass. I was born in Washington, D.C., and raised in D.C. and Florida, a couple other places. Primarily D.C. So I discovered, I was awakened when I was over in Europe in a rural community. And then I started looking at the United States differently. And then after I had that house sitter in D.C., then something drove me to look at rural properties, and then I started getting into the black townships, and then we've had three mayors of black townships on this phone line, on It's My House over the years. One of them, when I go, they pick me up at the airport, the mayor. Or take me out to dinner. But they know everybody in that. That's where my lane is, tiny town America.
Okay.
That's okay. My lane. You know, now, all I can do in a Chicago, D.C., New York City, L.A., Chicago, St. Louis, all those places, Miami, All I can do in those places, basically, I can meet friends, I can hang out, I can enjoy myself, I can spend money. But if I want to build anything that I want to build, you know, you got to jump through hoops. The fees that they charge for permits in a lot of your densely populated cities is outrageous.
Rip off.
Yeah.
You know, ironically,
so
brother,
you know what?
We're
free to move, so I choose not. I'll visit, and I'll say D.C. I'll visit D.C. where I have a house right now, but I can't, in D.C., I can't even do an Airbnb. The only way I can do an Airbnb with my house in D.C., I would have to actually uproot from where I'm at in Florida, move back to D.C., claim that house as a homestead property, and then I can apply for a license.
Okay. Okay.
Now, where I'm at right now in Florida, I don't have to do that. And then 3 hours away from me where I got the first 4 acres, there's more freedom there. I don't need municipal water. I know how to get my own. But YouTube, that's why I like YouTube as a barometer. You can see where people are leaving. They're learning new skills in real time. The youngest one, and I've featured her on here a couple of times. I haven't talked to her in person yet. I would have to go through her parents to do that. Laura Nelson, who converted a camper into a tiny house at 11 years old. No mortgage. And she'll probably never have a mortgage. Anyway, I've run my mouth on all that. Taking the maps, no one lives here. If you're frustrated with the city, big city that is, go where you can have freedom. Now, once again, freedom includes you need to acquire the skill sets to live near these places or in those places. You need to have the skill set. You need to know how to catch or grow your food. You need to know how to harvest your own fresh water or dig for a well. Okay. You need to, matter of fact, you need to, if you're really going to go hardcore with this, how to identify the edible foods that are all around you, because nature is nothing but a grocery store. That's all nature is. Nature feeds the polar bears. Nature, you know how big a damn bear is? Do you see them starving? Squirrels, I've never seen anything in nature starving. Because it's a grocery store. So there are people that give tours now and educate you on how to recognize edible foods that you can eat without going to the health food store, without going to Whole Foods or Wegmans or wherever. Once again, it's not for everybody. That's why our society, globally, particularly in the West, we are addicted, just like crack addicts. We are addicted to the comfort and conveniences of urbanized living. We need that bus route. We need the metro. We need to go to the grocery store. We need that fast food. Even if you don't get it from McDonald's, now you can go to a grocery store, and if you don't feel like cooking, the rotisserie chicken is there cooked, packaged, and ready for you to take home. Potato salad is ready for you to pick up, take home, and eat it. The cookies, cakes, and ice cream, anything you can think of, is already, we are addicted to, and comfort and convenience costs money. It costs money, and that's where capitalism comes in. But there's also natural capitalism. But that's a whole other podcast, natural capitalism. But we're addicted to it. including me. Now, I'm not as addicted as I used to be. You know, but my take on the, particularly for black men, in the memory of George Floyd, Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, name this any of them, including the guy that was sitting in his room, I mean, apartment in Dallas, eating a bowl of ice cream, watching the ball game. Go to one of those, go right on the fringes of those green areas, and you'll be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, your skill set needs to be up. You know, you're gonna have, you just can't go out there blind. You're going to have your skill set that's up. But a lot of those towns, and I've shared on this podcast before, in Taft, Oklahoma, you know, because the first house I bought there, it just hadn't been open in a while. It was real stuffy. So I opened up the front door and kept it open all night for three consecutive nights. Nobody walked in. And then one night, I need to cool off, so I walked, and now Cap does have some street lights, but I walked, it was a dark road, though, but absolutely no fear, and at the town center, where, you know, they got some dogs that hang out there, and only reason why I moved, because one of the dogs, he was wagging his tail, and he recognized, no, I'm not a regular, so he growled a little bit, but
okay.
I just eased on out of there and walked back to I walked back to the house. Okay. But, and like I said, 15, 20 minutes away, you know, I go to Walmart, I had to buy a new phone out there when I was out there once. And T-Mobile shop was out in Muskogee, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 45 minutes away. And let me go to the phone lines on this one. Tulsa riots, which happened in 1921. At that time, there were 50 historical black townships in the state of Oklahoma. This is all documented. None of those black townships have ever had any racial violence. Not one. The difference is the people that were in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they were in a hostile, they were in the white areas. According to that map, in the 50 townships that never experienced any racial violence in Oklahoma, they were in the green areas or on the fringes of the green areas. And three of those towns, Taft, Tallahassee, and Summit, I've been to those places and seen it with my own eyes. I'm just saying. Real freedom, the real United States, is in the green part of those maps. 346, your mic is open.
Well, good morning, L.A.
Good morning. Hey, you know, Warren, and I got to thank you for this. When you were doing those as Monday night or Tuesday night calls, conference calls, you had on part of one of those calls, you mentioned something about unincorporated communities.
Right.
That's how I got into all this stuff.
Right. I was just looking, you know, I listened to this conversation. Every once in a while, I go check the internet to see what's out there. There's a place called Henry River Mill Village, North Carolina, which is a 72-acre town. It's for sale for $1.4 million. You got Gary Owen, Montana, which is somewhere by a little bighorn up there for $250,000. Another place, Scenic South Dakota, they want $799,000 for its 12-acre town. So, I mean, there's a lot that could be done.
How many acres?
Let me go back down. One up there, Scenic South Dakota, has a 12-acre town.
Now, I'm just saying, I'm not knocking the NOI or Minister Farrakhan, but instead of marching to D.C. for a million-man march, get a couple of heads together and buy a town. I'm just saying that. That's a strategy. It's not the only strategy, but it's something to think about.
This may be some places we're not used to. I mean, but hey, if we're talking about South Dakota, that's another place up in here. Beaufort, Wyoming, they want $900,000 for this place. Then you have, what's this, Sweat, South Dakota. Another place is worth $250,000 that they're selling. I mean, the land is there. It's just all about.
It's there.
Yeah.
And see, you just have to get the skill set, and you got to organize a community. And it doesn't have to be a whole lot of people. It does not have. You'd be amazed at the time. There are a lot of towns in this country that have 50 people or less.
There's a place called Hell, Michigan, H-E-L-L, Hell, Michigan. They want $900,000 for it. And what's this?
And
this is a place
that's
up in
their
Oregon.
Asking price.
Chiller, Oregon, 256-acre, abandoned 256-acre Pacific Northwest town for a mere, what's this, $3.85
million.
Well,
as you're pointing out, there are towns that that fit different people's budget. So people can now. Some of these people say, "Well, why did you know?" Some of these towns, when they was formed, they served a specific purpose, and then when that goal was met, you know, the town, you know, just became a ghost town. And then, but now now we have other technology available. I mean, you can telecommute from a lot of these towns.
Yeah.
So as long as people had, like, the black townships, they were formed because they wanted to have a community that was free from lynching. They didn't have to worry about that. So that's why those towns, and then some of those towns are, you know, still around. So it all depends on the community of people. Like, so you don't have to have a whole lot of people. It depends on what people want. And, you know, whatever they need, and then you do have to have a bit of a pioneer spirit, but.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of it. I mean, it's all about the creativity and ideas. I remember years back, maybe around about 2003 or 4, when I was driving trucks, and they had a big construction of new homes around the Phoenix area. Well, that big construction of new homes that they were selling cheaper to get more people inside Phoenix, Arizona. And so that could be the same thing with any of these towns that's developed. You can have development of more homes, building a new town, and, you know, settling at a cheaper price, because you're probably going to get the land real cheap, and settle them at a cheaper price to get people to inhabit and move into that area. Nelly, are we still there?
I don't know if you can hear me. I know he's had auto. Can you hear me? This is Reba.
I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear you, Reba.
Yeah, the audio is, like, dropping off quite a lot today.
Okay.
And so I don't think we'll get kicked off, but he'll just log off and come back in. I think this time I'm trying to take notes. Trying to take them. I got some family members selling property out of the Booth settlement, and I have a cousin, Susan. She's doing some research to find out. But I kind of feel like it's something they pulled during the pandemic. I just feel like there should be a way for family members even distant family members to either say, because the idea, the elders are encouraging us. One, my dad's cousin Ann, she's saying y'all keep the properties in the family. Okay, so I don't know, like, she's a part of helping to organize the family reunions, but due to the pandemic and shelter in place and somewhat of a disconnect because there was an online, we have an online community of family. I just like, why are they selling the land instead of reaching out to family? Now, one young brother, we were on Clubhouse. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My name is Reba, by the way, so I co-host from time to time, and Brother L.A. and I were working to build my first tiny solar mobile cabin. So we've done some research and other work together and, you know, hosting podcasts and so forth, and now Clubhouse. So just to kind of give you an idea of who I am, actually, a teacher from Chicago and recording artist. And my cousin Anna is saying, don't let them sell the property. So the brother, one of the brothers on Clubhouse, and these young guys in their 20s and 30s are so, so intelligent, resourceful, they're making money. They're wise enough not to spend $200, $300, or $500 on a piece of material, something that they're beginning, they're enlightened to invest in properties and businesses and tech. So one young brother told me, he said, well, you know, my family appointed me, you know, as executor, you know, to take care of family business. He said, well, sometimes in some families, he said, well, a lot of times, you know, you never know. Just anybody may not necessarily, I'm paraphrasing, be able to handle family business. So he said, well, maybe they, so he just made a suggestion that some of the family members were selling the property to pay off some taxes. Well, we give out scholarships to family members. So I, you know, I was like, same thing to be discussed as a family, at least have a central place for information to be. And those that are intelligent enough to handle family business would actually do the research, like Susan and I, she's an educator out of New York, be able to go and research and say, okay, well, this land is available. Let me go ahead and scoop it up. Because 4 acres have been sold already, and there's some of our land on the market. And even if they felt that some of us would not be able to afford it, our land is, we're heirs to the property anyway. So as far as management, okay, if you don't want it, then we're looking into, like, who are the decision makers on that? Because we have a charter in almost every state in the nation. And like I said, we give out scholarships. We have a cemetery. We have property in Meridian, Mississippi, you know, across the South. But the Booth Settlement, Hickory, I'm just learning more and more about this. My dad always told me about the wealth of our family. We have a cemetery, we have churches. And so I'm learning, you know, my father transitioned back in 2012. So I'm just learning. I really, once again, I'm trying to get my sons to listen in and hear from black men like yourself and Brother L.A. to say, hey, you know, this is real. This is not just something we talk about. My now 25-year-old is, I'm going to text Brother L.A. while we're speaking so he'll know. I don't know if he's talking, but he's been kicked off a couple of times earlier today.
Okay,
so yeah, so they wouldn't know that this is real. My 25-year-old just visited my uncle on the west side of Chicago a few months to a year ago and was like, I didn't know black people own properties like that. I'm like, well, the building that was in Brownsville area of Chicago, my grandmother bought that for $17,000 and had no mortgage on it. Yeah, it was our property, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To pay taxes, you know, in the states, going to pay taxes. Well, in the states, in some areas, as I'm learning, like there's, I think some, I think Brother L.A. said in Florida. See, I'm in school, so I'm trying to keep up with all this. I got my pen right here. In Florida, one of his plots of land or several of his plots of land, I don't know, some area in Florida, he does not pay taxes because of the, policies that are in place. There are certain areas where you actually, I guess, don't pay taxes or for whatever reason. So just learning about that as well. So that was pretty interesting. Yeah, Brother L.A. texted back that he's getting booted off of the air So I'll let him know that we'll still talk. And what's your name again, brother?
Warren Houston.
Warren Houston, yeah, knowledgeable brother. Appreciate you. Staying connected. Okay. Yeah, I spoke with you a while back when I was trying to retain a property I got. I had a mortgage, predatory mortgage, fighting with my siblings. You remember me?
Yeah, it's been some years, but I think I remember talking to you.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, so...
That's something you can move it up.
Yeah. I'm just running out of work still.
I haven't, you know, I used to have a blog talk show as well. I haven't done it in about 4 years, maybe now. The People's Law Study Group was a organization where I taught law, but my show was Know Thyself, Know Thyself radio show.
Know Thyself, right. So Brother L.A. says that he can hear, but the system won't let him speak. So I don't know. He has to log in at one point and back on. So he is certainly the host, co-host from time to time, but I just, the system won't let him speak. So I know as far as a lot of internet, I guess it's probably about switching from 4G to 5G. So I certainly meant to ask him if, you know, he's on the 4G network or whatever, because the phone that I'm speaking on now, I have had some trouble on. And actually, my service provider was telling me, letting me know that after a while it's not going to work at all. So I'm surprised that it's still working. I thought, well, July 1st is coming up. I'm thinking that's when I won't be able to use this phone at all. So it's forcing me to switch to 5G or not have service with them at all, because I don't even think any phone services will be operating off of the 4G. But that's some further research as well. So, yeah, I appreciate you. I'm glad you called in. I would love to have you. Are you familiar with Clubhouse? Because that's what we've also been doing the evening on Clubhouse.
Are you familiar with who now?
Clubhouse. It's a phone app.
Clubhouse. No, I'm not.
Okay. So it's a phone app, and if this is my old phone, so you may still be in this phone. Otherwise, I can send you a link. So it's like the Black Planet. Was it like Black Planet was online? But you remember the Party Line, right? Popular one. Party Line. Yeah, so it has that kind of feel, but also because Black Planet was also online. Now, this is this phone app. It is, you know, networking. You still say social media, social networking. And so you can have up like a few thousand people in a room. I've been on the line with Tyrese, the artist, recording artist, Tony Robbins. And so actually you get to, if you like raise your hand, so they have where you can see a board and you see who the speakers are on your phone. So he's going to shut down. He said he shut down on his end, but he can hear us speaking. So we have couples building wealth. Brother L.A. and I came up with that topic for our club. So everyone has, when you join Clubhouse, you download the app and you join, you set up your profile. You have a club, you name your club, and then you have different rooms that you invite people. And then if you're already online and have some followers and so forth, you can ping them into the room if you're online. And if they're online, they can be pinged in. If they're not online, they'll probably get a text. So it's pretty resourceful, you know. So he said he should down on that end, but he can hear us speak. I don't know, maybe he should call me. I don't know, because he can only control the board. Yeah. So I don't know how it's shut down or what you're able to talk about. So I'm just looking up your number real quick. So let me see. I have to send you a link. Just it. You're 347? Is your number 347? Is your number 347?
346.
I have last 4 digits 9282.
No. It may have been something old. I don't know, but no, that's not what I have now.
Okay. I mean, I could certainly get it from Brother L.A. I don't know. I guess maybe he'll see if he's going to, because I like how he moves. He's the better. So it's pretty much tag team. I like how he moves the conversations forward and gets more in depth. He asks the right questions as far as I'm concerned, because myself on a listening end, it's like, okay, that was a good question to be asked of the callers and the guests on the show. I had a brother of mine, music producer, just told me, and the film director, that his mom didn't have very much education, but she built three homes, you know, by herself. And he said it's amazing the things that she could do without, you know, education. So that's what Brother L.A. is actually alluding to as well. Know thyself. I'd love to catch some of those. I remember tuning in from time to time, or like so. I like that. Do you have the recordings where people can check out some of your past work?
Yeah, I do. I have to get that link for you. And, I'll get the information. I guess get it through LA when we get off the line, and I'll send information to you. Not a problem.
Okay. Well, yeah, so what I'll do is I'll carry us out through. Normally we hold this podcast until about 11:30. Generally after 11:30, it may cut off. We have like a 9:30, 11:30, but it may cut us off because they may extend it. Brother Warren Houston, Know Thyself Radio, was that what you were calling it?
Yeah, that was it.
Know Thyself, what was it?
Know Thyself Radio, the Know Thyself Radio Network.
Wow. Sounds like you're breaking up. Your end is breaking up.
You can't. I'm not clear.
Can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
I don't know. Maybe they're losing some of their bandwidth. You know, this Blog Talk Radio. They sell some of their shares or something.
Well, they have a lot of customers, so.
I'm going to take you off speaker. I don't know what to do. Pardon me, what did you say? Repeat that.
I just say they have a lot of customers, so they have a lot of bandwidth to share.
Did not hear that. It's actually breaking up, because I know that normally, like, I'm stationary, so we shouldn't be having this issue. Certainly want to connect you on Clubhouse with us, and that is a platform where you can connect with individuals, not only funding sources, you name it. And you're an attorney, correct?
I'm a lawyer.
Okay, right, lawyer. Okay, you correct me on that. I stand corrected. And there's a difference. What was I watching? Somebody said they're lawyers and they're attorneys. Lawyers. So we're going to figure that one out. I don't have my other difference. Okay, so what is that? So I can stand corrected.
All attorneys are lawyers, but not all lawyers are attorneys. The difference between a lawyer and attorney, a lawyer is someone who's educated in the law. An attorney is someone who's licensed by the state.
Okay. Interesting. So, okay. And it makes sense.
I have education, but I do not have a license to practice in any state.
Okay. Well, I may be considered a lawyer, too. Okay, we always choose the law because of different. Pardon?
If you study the law, then you consider yourself a lawyer.
You know, my late father used to talk like that. Well, speak that truth, rather. He's not just talk like that. He was speaking that truth because, keep in mind, we're always students, if we so choose to be, and learning. And my first college experience was at Northeastern University here in Chicago, policy implementation, policy making and implementation at Northeastern University here in Chicago. That was my first college experience. And so, keep in mind, speaking of the law, if something is unjust, you fight it, and a lot of times, well, many times, laws are created, policies are implemented because there than the whole system, justice system, is a just us system, which does not include people of color. Just us. It only works, in my experience. It may seem to work out for others, but that's just so that it won't look so corrupt, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I having my van worked on. So my son just came to get the key. So, that's powerful. And I do know that you were in your Know Thyself program. You were sharing different resources and have consultation based on some things that you were learning and. And I tell folks, because I'm a business consultant as well, now my focus is to help young people in the Black Youth Metropolis movement, which is an entrepreneurship movement, and education, of course. So we want to teach individuals to become self-sufficient by not only educating themselves, but building tiny homes and other establishing other sources of income. So for yourself, you've been paid as a consultant. I know that you have had your service. For myself, I'm learning not to be, not to devalue what I give, what I share. You know, as I learn, I share. However,
right.
I'm not going to charge for every single word I speak, but when it comes down to my Spanish program and because I don't even work with for-profit business too often. They can hire me, come in, but I don't even want to work a 9-to-5. I will be working with the South Loop Hotel, which was built by a Black man from the ground up here in Chicago, South Loop Hotel. But I will, that's going to be an overnight shift, so I can still work during the day and do work my businesses and establish my reestablish the wealth that my family's passed on to. I'm a new grandma as well, too, so.
Okay.
So how can people reach you if you're available? So what's going on with you at this point in time?
Well, I have some things in the work. I have a 5,000 square foot office space that I'm converting to a TV radio studio. So we're going to create a TV app. And once we get all that stuff together, then we're coming back online.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, so that's the type of resources I like to have our young people to just witness. And keep in mind, as we get older, like I tell you, being a school teacher at one point in the classroom, private and public sector, I'm like, somebody's going to need to take care of Ms. Brown, when I get older, may not be my sons. I'm taking care of y'all now. So, and I just encourage young people, we can be accountable. I think if we would be better if we were actually accountable. A lot of times we try to wiggle out of accountability I'm not one to constantly blame the white man. Okay, they stole a lot from us. Okay, but we're creators by nature. We're innovators, we're creators. We know how to keep it moving. And what is already established, it's just in us. It's an innate ability to improve on the existing. So it is possible. So even with Elon Musk and his Tesla car, we're talking about Brother Pleasant building solar panels. It occurred to me, why just use an electric source, but what about solar-powered cars? So someone else has been, I guess, putting that out there, but keep in mind. A lot of times we have ideas, we got to have money behind it in order to say that, okay, I own this idea or this is my establishment. And then when it comes down to physical products, China's going to duplicate quite a lot. I think that they started, the United States government started to alleviate the practice of duplicating and
kind of tweaking the design a little bit, you know, you can have a product. Like I have, my dad was an inventor. He invented the, he designed the HVAC system as we now know it in McDonald's, in the McDonald's restaurant. And so when he submitted his draft, there were several thousand engineers who had submitted drafts. And my dad submitted his. His actually was the second, so they say. What happened was, and I was trying to hold on his draft when they were, I was cleaning the building out that he had. And so, and I didn't know which draft papers there were, but I was just trying to hold on so I could find out. But it was submitted to Walsh Construction, who was heading up that project some years ago. They tweaked my dad's design and gave the contract to a white man. My dad, the late Robert Bruce, was also the first black engineer on the Dan Ryan Expressway here in Chicago, I-90. So thing is, some of the inventions that I have, with, you know, inventions are to, you know, like the refrigerator, to better our lives that are going out. In the, you know, a black woman invented a refrigerator from what I understand. I'm still doing my research. There's so many things that we've done to make life easier. So just want to just continue to educate our young people. And I like the fact that we're talking about moving around. A lot of these young people that I talk to, they don't mind getting up out of the inner city. They know they want to be a part of the Black Exodus, as I call it. Black Exodus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, can I send you a link? Do you have a number that you would share, or just, should I get it from Brother L.A.? Is it not public?
Yeah, yeah, you can get it from L.A. You can get it from L.A.
Okay. Yeah. And so so you have lands established? Pardon me?
Yes.
Go ahead. I didn't hear that.
No, no, I was just saying it's not a problem. You can get it from L.A.
Okay, okay. And I heard my son is trying to get my grandson over here, so I wasn't able to catch everything that was shared. But I know you were identifying different areas of land that is for sale, different price ranges. So I was just trying to get some of those notes down. So Brother L.A., he had to unplug his modem. So he's trying to get back established. And get back on. So I appreciate the fact. So we're called scholars. So intellectual community is one thing. But then I call my young people, because I teach my students of Spanish and entrepreneurship. We teach financial literacy. I have a brother, Brother Jihad, who's teaching that with the app community. He has a whole organization that is based off of the concept of the ACT community, how they feel, how they move and interact as a community, the ACT community. So he's teaching the ACT community concept. Stay in your lane, basically. you got the fighter ants, army ants, you got, hey, builder ants. So one person can't just do everything and actually consider even how the United States and the wealth that was built on the backs of slaves. So you had slaves and, you know, either business partners, indentured service, and you name it. There were teams, you would say, there were numbers of people who helped to build. So it was someone who delegates and someone who has the organizational mindset to say, hey, you work over here, you work over there, and I know where you best fit. However, when it comes down to it, I know that for myself, instead of giving money to the community, teach them as I'm teaching now, as I learn, I'm just sharing, you know, knowledge along the way. Doing the research, being scholars, and also knowing where you work best. I've been called the jack. What do they say? Oh, you're a jack of all trades, master of none. My uncle just said that, I think it was yesterday, the day before yesterday. He said, well, focus in because you can do a lot, which is true. I've been a locksmith apprentice. I love learning.
Yeah.
I'm a cosmetologist.
So at this point, I'm focused on my Spanish and my music.
Yeah, well, I ain't no cosmetologist, but I do believe in learning. I think, you know, the more you know, the more powerful you become.
Yeah, yeah. And then taking action on it. And on what it. I'm just realizing that we don't necessarily. Brother L.A., are you back on the air? Because I heard some feedback. So teach, you know, just sharing opportunity with others. So you utilize that young energy. You know, we're getting old. My uncle referred to one of my uncles who just turned 66, actually about 10 years ago. He said, you guys are the new elders. I said, huh? I said, well, I guess, because his children, especially his younger children.
Okay, can you hear me now?
There you go, there you go.
Man, I had to call the phone company. I had to unplug the modem. The dial tone was completely outside. They told me to unplug the modem, which I did. You got to wait about a minute or two for that. Then plug it back in and wait 5 minutes. But I think this is a show that nobody wanted us to put out there. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm just saying. Anyway, well, you two can continue on.
No. I'm glad you came back because I do have a meeting I got to get to at noon at 12.
Being researched.
You can pass
scholar,
her on any of my information she may need or want. You can pass her in my information on L.A.
Okay, all right. Well, like I said, it was you with one of those conference calls that I started to get into this stuff, you know, unincorporated communities and all, and I just saw, man, there's so many of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's you know, I mean, it's literally stuff can be done with the unification and the money as opposed to just really sitting around complaining about what's happening. You know, things can be a different kind, the difference can be made.
Yeah, they can be. And like I say, if you find a patch of land, because there are plenty of places that, now you'd have to do some research, the tax certificates and all that, but there are communities, or you know, to start your own. You know, if you want to get, I know a guy, he did something with just 11 acres of land. You know, if you want 100 acres of land or even 1,000. It's out there to get. Just do your homework and have a core group of people. Doesn't have to be a big group, but just a core group of serious people you can really do some things. So Warren, right. I appreciate it. But Reba, I appreciate it as well. Hold down the fort. And we only got two more minutes left, so what I'm going to do. Hey, Reba, you have any announcements or warning the announcements?
Thanks. We're looking, once you guys, to support our new single release. This is Cash Now Entertainment. Celebrate Your Life. You are Celebrate Your Life. You spell it that way. it's the name of our single. So we just did some video footage. We're going to do the last part this afternoon at a film studio in Bolingbrook. Celebrate Your Life on YouTube. WF.ZOC, Bill 1, WF.DA, and the number 1 on YouTube. And so we're in a circle of like Twista, Lil Baby, and things like that. We just recorded a portion of the video footage at the Grand Ballroom Chicago. So you all, going with you in Chicago, visit the Grand Ballroom and have a good time.
All right.
And
Warren,
then Reba the Teacher is my website.
Okay. Those who want to learn Spanish. Warren, any announcements?
No announcements at the moment.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to end it on that. Everyone have a good rest of the day.